to me. WSRadio.com.
Accomplishment Coaching is proud to present the following fine programming. Accomplishment Coaching, where coaches lead and leaders coach. AccomplishmentCoaching.com.
Welcome to The Coaching Show with your host, Master Certified Coach Christopher McCollum.
More like it. Thank you, Dick Warren, and thank you, my dear listener, for listening. We had a little technical difficulty. We had a little glitch. We had a little whoops. We had a little, I don't know what that was. But thank you for hanging with us, and thanks for being with us for another edition of The Coaching Show. We're going to learn a lot today. Going to be focusing on the entrepreneurial mindset, as well as just some basic things that you need to do if you're already doing it, if you're not already doing it, ways that you can enhance the business part of your business. We're also going to be talking about career coaching executives and talking about how people can thrive in their career, including you and me. Sounds like a reasonable, wonderful, reasonable show, right? We're going to learn a lot, and let me introduce you to, as you know, lately we've been having coaches on who are our guest co-host, so that you can learn more about coaches out in the world, in the neighborhood, people that are doing something in the world of coaching that's either interesting, good, useful, or the like. And we have such a guest with us today. Maria G is a professional business and life coach. Her background is corporate management, team building and development, as well as luxury travel. I like her already. Maria earned a business management degree in Beijing, China, graduated from the coaches training program at Accomplishment Coaching. I'm going to learn to speak today, too. That's going to be exciting. And is currently a mentor coach in that program. She partners with leaders, managers, and teams to dramatically improve their ability to communicate, deliver on their goals, and transform their behaviors and habits. Maria, welcome to our microphones.
Thank you, Christopher. So, it's so honored to be on your show.
Well, thanks for being had, as we like to say. Hey, look around outside. Where do you find yourself today?
Oh, it's great. I think this is a perfect theme for me because I also myself is an entrepreneur. And so, yeah, and I coach most of my clients are entrepreneurs, too. I'm excited about this.
Sorry, I may have gone really fast there for you. I was asking where in the world you are. What part of the world, what town are you in?
I'm in Campbell River. It's this small little town with 35,000 people on Vancouver Island.
Oh, beautiful. Campbell River, Vancouver Island. Very good. And if they, as I have, just fall in love with you and want to talk to you more, how should they reach you?
They can find me on my website, mariajicoaching.com.
Great.
Or my email, maria@mariagcoaching.com.
Great. So your name is Maria G, but G is spelled J-I. So it's mariajicoaching.com. Okay. And all your information, a nice picture, and more information about how to reach you and how people can work with you is available there. What's the ideal client for you? Who are you working with these days?
Entrepreneurs, management professionals.
Great. Okay, so if people want to see their vision realized, if people are stuck in some sort of a rut of thinking or behavior in their management, they should reach out and contact you at maria@mariagcoaching.com. Great. Let's talk about today's show. So actually, I'm sorry. I feel like a beginner again today. It's only been 16 years or something like that. So forgive me for being a knucklehead. I need to shout out to a couple of things. One is a sad note. Are you ready for a sad note? Let's all say aw. Aw.
Aw.
Yeah. So after 4 years, maybe it's been five, of media partnership with the International Coach Federation, something we've been proud of, something we've been talking about on this show for, over 4 or 5 years, is we're we're separating, we're parting ways. We're no longer going to be an ICF media partner. You can ask me why. I don't really know why. My suspicion is that they got their own shows going and that they want to stop being partners in that way. But I received a communication from a company called Stanton Communications, which makes me think they're in the communications business, that this would be our last show. So I want to thank them for all of their support of us, and I want to acknowledge them for all the fine work that the people at the Federation do, the International Coach Federation. It is, as you know, the leading global organization dedicated to advancing the coaching profession. They do that by setting high standards, providing independent certification, and by building a worldwide network of trained coaching professionals. The ICF, also known as the International Coach Federation, is the world's largest organization of professionally trained coaches, but also the place where you can find the most information about coaching, research, educational information. If you need to respond to an RFP, if you need to prove the ROI of coaching, if you need to prove the legitimacy of your particular coaching, check out the ICF and their amazing archives and research storehouses over there. Also, of course, membership elicits instant credibility for ICF members. ICF connects professional coaches with the tools and resources we need to exceed in our careers. Maria, do you up there in beautiful Campbell River, BC, do you have an ICF chapter? Do you go see other coaches from time to time?
Yeah, there's chapters in Victoria sometimes also meet in Mid-Island.
Gotcha. So you gotta find it sometimes, but it's true for people who live in, you know, far off places like Campbell River, BC, or people that live in a city near you. Check it out. The ICF is available on coachfederation.org, and you can find anything you want there, including local events and chapter meetings. You can also follow them on Twitter at ICFHQ. That's at ICFHQ. And anything you want to say about ICF or ICF membership or accreditation, Maria?
I have been ICF member for about 5 years now, and they're fabulous organizations. And I, through certain trainings, I also met coaches in China who are also ICF members, and they are certified PCC. And it's lots of resources available on their website. And also they say chapters on the island because we're so spread out. And they actually get my contact information and reach out to me and let me know when they have regular meetings or on the up island.
All right. Hey, Maria, tell us something about your background, because I think people by now are deciding that you don't sound Canadian. What's the what's your personal background?
Oh, I'm Chinese. I moved to Canada 13 years ago.
From
China.
Yeah, where in China? Where were you?
Beijing.
Oh, straight from Beijing. Wow.
Straight from Beijing. 28 million people.
Into Campbell River, 35,000.
35,000, yes.
Great. All right. Well, thank you so much for being with us. Again, that's Maria G. You can find her at Maria G. That's MariaJi, coaching.com. And we're delighted to welcome to our microphone our first guest. You know, there's nothing better than running into people who, by being introduced to their work. And I first became aware of Dori Clark through her work. And then I found out she's got just a fascinating bio, just a fascinating background. But I was introduced by the book Entrepreneurial You. It turns out that she's a multiple-time author, award-winning author. She's also an extraordinary leader in a lot of different ways. Let's see if we can articulate them. She's an adjunct professor at Duke University, Go Blue Devils, Fuqua School of Business. She's not only the author of Entrepreneurial You, but also Reinventing You and Stand Out, which was named the number one leadership book of 2015 by Inc. magazine, no less. She's a former presidential campaign spokeswoman. The New York Times describes her as an expert in self-reinvention and helping others make changes in their lives, a frequent contributor to the HBR, Harvard Business Review. She consults and speaks for clients including Google, Microsoft, and World Bank. And here's the most interesting part for me. She's also the producer of a multiple Grammy Award-winning jazz album. You can find her on the web at Dori Clark. That's DoriClark.com. And we're delighted to welcome to our microphone Dori Clark. Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being had, as we like to say. Hey, look around outside, Dori. Where do you find yourself today in the world?
Well, I am at home right now. I am in New York City, so I'm looking out at some cavernous skyscrapers across the way.
It's a beautiful place to be from, as they say. All right. I think you know we've got a co-host today, Maria G., joining us from Campbell River,
Hello.
BC. Not exactly New York City. let's talk about the work that I was introduced to you through, Entrepreneurial You. Is it a good idea to unleash a bunch of entrepreneurs on the world? Is this a good thing?
I it could be a little dangerous, all of that entrepreneurial wattage just coursing through society's veins. But I think it's a pretty good idea, notably for a couple of reasons. One is that society is moving in a more entrepreneurial direction anyway. I experienced this firsthand myself because this is now a number of years ago, but I got laid off from my first job as a newspaper reporter, and I came to realize rather instantaneously exactly how fragile the so-called secure day job actually is. And so I think that having an entrepreneurial orientation and thinking about how you can create your own future is a pretty powerful hedge against the downside. But of course, the second reason is that there is a huge incentive on the upside. When you're an entrepreneur, you have autonomy. You have the ability, in theory, to make unlimited income based on the decisions that you make and the smarts you bring to the table. So it's pretty exciting from the perspective of seizing opportunity.
It is. I think that people think, and you know, I've got some personal experience with this. So I'm a CEO of an organization, right? And when I say that, I think people are thinking about like Warren Buffett or Jamie Dimon, you know, these sort of dynamic heads. And probably there's a similar thing when you talk about being an entrepreneur, right? People think of, I don't know, Elon Musk or somebody, right, who's out there killing it. But what I found recently about CEOs is that the average CEO of an organization has three employees. That organization has three, the average.
Yes.
Right. And so what's the average entrepreneur? What's really happening out there in the world of entrepreneurship?
Well, in large part, the entrepreneurs that I often speak to in my books and in my writing are not necessarily people who are, you know, running large multi-hundred or thousand people organization. I'm especially interested in people who are oftentimes solopreneurs, or they are, you know, running, you know, smaller sized businesses. And part of what is exciting about that for me is that it really opens up a realm of opportunity. Not everyone wants or certainly needs to have this kind of classical, oh, let's, you know, let's get angel funding, let's get venture funding, kind of entity. There are a lot of people who, even if they have a day job, even if they want to keep their day job, could very easily start something small on the side that both opens up new experiences to them, gives them an extra stream of income, teaches new things, whether that's in coaching or consulting or speaking or maybe creating an online course, something like that. And I feel like that is really perhaps the largest untapped opportunity that most professionals can move into pretty easily and without, you know, unlike starting some business and signing a 10-year lease, getting themselves into a precarious position.
So you're a huge fan, I'm getting, of the side hustle. No matter what sort of fancy position title or senior vice president of Paperclips you may be, you think people should get their entrepreneurial move on and start creating something, ideally not driving Uber, but something in the entrepreneurial space, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that what many people don't fully recognize is that when you do that, there are actually benefits that redound to you even in your day job, if you have one. For instance, in my book, Entrepreneurial You, I profile a guy named Lenny Achan, who was a nurse at a hospital, and he was ultimately able to work up to becoming the head of communications for the hospital, which is a really, you know, almost bizarre career arc. You know, it's not what would at all be expected of a nurse. But the way that he did it was that it was strictly on the basis of his side hustle. He got really interested interested in smartphones and smartphone apps. He learned on his own time how to create them, and he launched a couple. And when his boss found out, his boss made him the head of social media for the hospital. And Lenny did such a great job, he ultimately was promoted to run the entire communications portfolio. So the things that, that you show initiative in and learn in your own time, your own entrepreneurial ventures, can actually get you promotions and recognition in your day job as well.
I really want to follow the thread of social media there, but I'm aware that you and I have been sort of talking quickly over, and I want to make sure Maria gets in here. Maria, have you got a question for Dory or something you want to talk about?
Yeah, totally. I have a clients that are interested, say, myself too, is I wanted to speak to a large audience and to get paid to doing that. And what, how did you break into that? Like, what's your, what suggestions do you have for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Speaking is definitely a common goal. I feel like public speaking is one of those activities that nobody's in the middle. It's sort of like you either think it's horrible and want to hide from it, or you're like, oh my God, I'd love to be paid to do that. So for the people who would love to be paid to do that, I actually do have a whole chapter in Entrepreneurial U talking about it. But the very short version is this. In the beginning, in the early days, literally almost everybody, unless you have celebrity from some different realm, you know, you're a professional athlete or, you know, whatever, you will need to start speaking for free. That's just to get your name out there, to get the experience, to get good at it, frankly. So take all the free engagements you can get initially. But in terms of how to transition into getting paid for it, it is very hard, not impossible, but maybe close to it in terms of statistics, to pitch your way into a paid speaking engagement. The dynamic is that there are so many aspiring speakers. The people who are the gatekeepers, the conference organizers, really want to feel like they are choosing you. And so you actually, in some ways, diminish your credibility when you come at them. So the best secret is to try to get a warm referral. And some of the ways to do this, for instance, if you target a particular conference you'd like to speak at, you should, number one, look at the people who have spoken there in the past and see if you know any of them, because they might be able to recommend you. That is a very strong path in. Another possibility is, you know, LinkedIn is great for this. Look at people who are on the conference organizing committee. See if you have any connections to those people, and they might be a path to a recommendation.
That's a great idea.
Oh, that's a great idea to speak to the past speakers.
Okay, so I want to go back to the social media, because I just spent a whole lot of money and time in a room with people who were smart, and they just sort of yelled at me about all the things I'm not doing on social media, and how come I'm not in LinkedIn, and how come I'm not amassing my list. You also talk about the power of social media and are surprisingly a fan of email, which I think some of us think, you know, maybe email's over. So tell us about the importance of social media in terms of getting your message out there and becoming an entrepreneur.
Absolutely. So there's a few different layers of answers here, right? So the first layer is that, is it important to be on social media just in the sense that you have a presence, people can find you, you know, do you have a LinkedIn profile? Yes, absolutely. At this point, something like a LinkedIn profile it's considered like a website. It's sort of just a basic way that people find you. And so unless you literally launched your business yesterday, it is going to seem really weird for people if you don't have that. If, you know, they're like, is this person credible? Why are they not here? So having, you know, a decently filled out, robust LinkedIn profile, for instance, is something that I would say is virtually mandatory for professionals. Now, that being said, I think a lot of people can overdo it with social media. It is very easy to spend, theoretically, all your time on social media and convince yourself, oh yeah, I'm doing business development, when really you're just like retweeting things and posting. And, you know, it's kind of like a make work activity that masks from you the reality that you're kind of playing around and not really generating business. So what I like to say is, do you need to have a presence? Yes, but you shouldn't let it take over your life. I would say spend 1 to 2 hours on social media per week. That's it. Other than that, you know, and, I mean, of course, unless you're a social media consultant or something and it's your job, but for a regular person, 1 to 2 hours a week should be very sufficient in terms of targeted outreach. email is the thing that I really stress in entrepreneurial you. You are exactly right. The reason for that is that it is it's the thing that professionals still read. You know, I mean, if you're posting on Twitter, studies have shown that about, you know, if you're lucky, 2% of your followers will see a given post. It's just a terrible hit rate. Whereas for almost all email, the average open rate is, let's say, 20 to 30% from an email blast. That is a 10x improvement. And these people have opted in. They've said they want to hear from you. It is a much better and much more intimate and in-depth way to reach your target audience.
Nice. Any tips about what should or should not be in the email that we send out? For example, I have this thing about I don't click on links. Is that everybody or is that just me?
Well, I think it might be just you, although, you know, not a bad move from the position of like hackers or
right,
whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with links. But the thing that I see that is most problematic in the universe of people that I mostly speak to, so let's say, you know, consultants or coaches or people like that, is that oftentimes the email newsletter is really nothing more than kind of a promotional flyer. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, here's a picture of me speaking at an event. Here's a list of all the events that I spoke at. Oh, look, in case you want to hire me, here's how you can hire me. And it's just kind of me focused. And of course, you know, there's a small audience of people, you know, like your close friends or your family or whatever that would be very interested. Oh my God, you spoke in Missouri? That's incredible. but most clients, most regular people would be like, who cares about this? Mm-hmm. So I think that it's very important to make sure that in your communications you have a customer-focused orientation and that you're creating content, you know, articles or posts or things like that where they say, oh, thank you for sending this. This is really interesting and relevant to me.
Mm. So to provide value, that's the key.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm curious about, you know, often people say, oh, you know, I don't like my job. I want to start doing something, have this brilliant idea, but I'm so scared, or I'm not a self-employed type of a person. Mm-hmm. Like what suggestions or advice you have for them? Like what should they watch out?
Sure. So I think, first of all, that's actually a very sensible reaction. So I would commend people for that, because I think that oftentimes in our culture, we have the way that entrepreneurship gets talked about, we kind of veer to the opposite extreme, which is, oh, just, you know, jump off the cliff. Yeah, make it happen. Take the risk. And that's often a really terrible plan if you're somebody who's a grown-up and has responsibilities. What I like to advise instead is, yeah, be cautious, be careful. That's a good move. I think that it is very smart to, if you have a goal of entrepreneurship, to try to create a horizon for yourself. And in my case, when I shifted into entrepreneurship, my you know, sort of, you know, launch pad was about a year. I think even 2 to 3 years planning in advance is a great idea. And just strategically say, you know what, this is my goal for whatever it is, 2020, 2021. And you start making slow and incremental progress toward it. And you do the things in a manageable fashion that you need to do. You take the courses, you sign up for the trainings, you read the books, you start doing small tests of your service or product offering to see, do people actually seem interested? Do they want to buy it? And you test it out so that by the time you're ready to quote unquote make the leap, it's actually not much of a leap at all, because you've already validated your offering and you have gained the skills that you need so that when you move into it full time, you can be successful.
That's such a great note for all of us, especially those timid to get in the water. Dori, our time has flown by. I'm going to be in New York City in a couple of weeks. I'm going to do everything I can to have a cup of coffee with you. But in our last moment together, will you give us a parting thought or a parting shot, something you'd like 50,000 coaches or so to think about, do, or take on today?
Absolutely. I think that one of the best concepts that I learned in the course of writing Entrepreneurial You was one that came from my interview with a guy named Michael Parrish Dudell. And he's a consultant. He's the author of a book based on the Shark Tank TV show. Mm-hmm. And he broke things down into mind share and market share activities. And I think it's kind of a nice frame. The way that he thinks about things is that the market share activities, as he defines it, is things that make him money, but often are invisible. You know, it's like the coaching assignment, the, mm-hmm. the consulting assignment. It's not very visible or public. You're just working with, you know, a small group of people. But it brings in the revenue, and so that's important. But you can't just do that, because otherwise you're going to be the best kept secret. You also need to focus on market share activities. These are often unpaid. It's blogging for publications, being interviewed in the news, getting yourself out there. But when you do it, it's highly visible, and it leads to more market share activities down the road. So if you can think about balancing both in your business, that is pretty important. And so if you're interested in learning more about that and about creating other multiple income streams in your business, I do have a free resource, which is the 88 Question Entrepreneurial You Self-Assessment. And folks can get that for free at my website, doryclark.com.
/entrepreneur to get to it a little more easily. Again, the website is doryclark, doryclark.com. Check it out. There's lots there. And I love how you capture it right at the beginning. Dory Clark, thanks for being with us. More in a moment.
Tired of presentations with no impact, no inspiration, and no traction? Do dull speakers have you and your team disengaged and distracted by smartphones? Christopher McCullough brings energy, insights, and 2 decades of experience, delivered with punch, humor, and heart. Your team will leave energized, uplifted, and with a sense of purpose. Visit ChristopherMcCullough.com to bring some heat to your next speaking engagement. McAulife. ChristopherMcCullough.com.
Are you seeking to change your career to something that is both fulfilling and challenging? Do you want to help people reach their full potential and strive to achieve their dreams? Would you like to inspire those around you and help create a better world? If you're serious about a career change or just want to explore the craft of personal coaching, contact Accomplishment Coaching. With locations across the country in Washington, D.C., Seattle, Chicago, New York City, and San Diego, Accomplishment Coaching is the leading institution in personal coaching. Our staff carefully monitors the entire program live during the training process and have met the strict standards of ICF International to achieve accreditation. Through a focus on quality instruction rather than endless modules of training, Accomplishment Coaching will guide you from your very first step all the way to becoming one of the finest coaches in the world. Visit AccomplishmentCoaching.com to learn more. Accomplishment Coaching, where coaches lead and leaders coach.
Christopher McCullough is your source for the latest in the world of personal coaching. Whether it be speaking with such luminaries as Deepak Chopra or getting the newest techniques and innovation, The Coaching Show is always on the cutting edge of what's happening now.
Gotham Books presents Marriage Rules by Harriet Lerner, the book Martha Beck calls required reading for anyone hoping to interact successfully with any other human, not just for those in romantic relationships. Get your copy wherever books and ebooks are sold, and visit harrietlerner.com to learn how to change your marriage today.
Do you want to be a professional coach? Are you in business trying to make a real difference with people you manage or work with? Have you started a coaching practice that isn't quite getting off the ground? Get the skills you need to be a successful coach today with the Coach's Training Program from Accomplishment Coaching. The Coach's Training Program will show you how to help others focus and be more fulfilled. Whether you want to improve your company's bottom line or create a thriving coaching practice, Accomplishment Coaching can give you the distinctions and practices you need to coach others effectively today. Accomplishment Coaching has spent 6 years developing a cutting-edge coaches training program that will have you ready to coach people professionally in just 12 months, and you don't have to take time off work to do it. To find out more about the Coaches Training Program, just call 1-888-548-6813. That's 1-888-548-6813.